Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Casey's General Stores. And today, our driver's guest is retired NASCAR racing legend, Dave Marcus. We're also going to hear from Bob Allen from Arlington Raceway, Pat Fagan from Fast Shafts in Des Moines, Iowa, and a little more from our friend Speed at Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers car care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers car care products distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
The biggest race in South Dakota history is back.
I'm going past the Badlands. That's where spirits remain.
The season opener, Saturday, May 13th, Badlands Motor Speedway, Brandon, South Dakota. The Fulken Brothers Trucking Silver Shootout,
where the $100,000 purse is paid in custom 10-ounce silver bars.
Last year, we set an all-time record with 47 410 sprint cars. Be sure to grab your tickets early for this event. They're only $27.50 in advance, but they will be $35 each if you wait until the day of the event. Advance tickets available at Badlands Gun Store, BadlandsMotorspeedway.com, or right at the track.
Saturday, May 13th.
The Fulken Brothers Trucking Silver Shootout at Badlands Motor Speedway in Brandon. Be sure to get there early to get a good seat for this epic racing event. Info and tickets at BadlandsMotorspeedway.com.
NASCAR returns to Kansas Speedway May 13th. Here's some reasons to be there. Reason number 88, Dale Flippins Jr. Nuff said. Number 2, Keselowski-style cold ones are always BYOB. Reason 78, your memory of Martin Truex Jr. will be both crystal clear and a blur. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Go Bowling 400, live, Saturday night, May 13th. Tickets at KansasSpeedway.com.
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Hey, Dirt Show fans, you know what looks even better than those cars on the track? The trucks in the parking lot. At Auto Trim Design of Owatonna, we can make your ride into a showpiece, or at least we can make you proud of it. We have hundreds of accessories to make your truck look and function great. Access covers, spray-in bed liners, window tint, and yes, lots of bling. Come in and let us show you how to make a personal statement with the vehicle you love, yours. Auto Trim Design is located 1/2 mile west of Walmart on Highway 14 in Owatonna. Let's go racing!
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is proud to announce for the 2017 Sprint Car season that our newest exhibit will be our salute to champion Sammy Swindell, running in our museum from June 1st through October 1st. Stop in and view 6 of Sammy Swindell's winning sprint cars that Sammy drove during his illustrious career and his 1983 Chili Bowl winning midget race car. Plus, we'll have an exclusive interview with Sammy Swindell and award-winning editor Bones Bossier on video inside the Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell exhibit that you can only see inside the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Also, our Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell t-shirts and posters will be available starting June 1st. And don't forget to mark your racing calendars for Saturday, June 3rd, when the 28th annual National Sprint Car Hall of Fame induction banquet will be held right here in Knoxville at Dyer Hudson Hall, and the USAC Sprint Cars return to Knoxville Raceway that same Saturday night, July 3rd. That's our Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell exhibit, June 1st through October 1st at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum induction banquet and USAC Sprint Cars Saturday night, June 3rd. In Knoxville.
Hey, this is Dave from Severs Noel and VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver's Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show for the Driver's Segment, and I am joined by retired NASCAR legend Dave Marcus. And Dave, growing up in Warsaw, Wisconsin, what inspired you as a young boy to become a race car driver?
Well, I actually grew up on a farm, but my father also had a garage and a small wrecking yard, so I was around automobiles, grew up around them, and my brother and I messed with a lot of the old cars that my dad had in the wrecking yard. We would get them going on Sunday when he and Ma were gone and race around on the fields and the farms and stuff and get in trouble.
Now, I hope I have my facts right on this. The number 2 Rib Mount Marine Mercury Outboard sponsored car. That is a super cool looking car. Was that a 57 Chevy or a 57 Buick?
It was a 57 Chevrolet.
That was the coolest dirt car I've ever seen.
That was a good car. Really good car.
Some of the worst injuries of your five-decade racing career actually happened at the Warsaw track.
Yeah, on a short track, it's hard to believe. Yeah, I had one bad wreck there in 64, I believe it was. Or was it 65? But anyhow, yeah, I had a ruptured spleen, which they repaired. All the ribs on the left side broken, teeth all on the left side, and it's banged up pretty good. Was laid up there for a while.
You actually left the track and hit a tree, and trees don't move.
Yeah, a bunch of brush and stuff growing around in between one and two turn, and got down in right off the racetrack in the air, kind of airborne, and out in the trees.
Was that in that car number two?
Yes, it was.
Did you ever race that car again, or was it destroyed?
No, we rebuilt it. I fixed it. Yep, we fixed it.
Fans seen you race here in Minnesota at the Minnesota State Fair in the late 60s, finishing as high as second and third. What do you remember about those Minnesota State Fair races?
Well, that was with a Chevelle that I actually had that we took to NASCAR. No, that was with the Ford, wasn't it? Yeah, that was with the Ford. I bought a Ford from a guy by the name of Alvin Perry out of Kentucky. It was a former Fred Verlinson car built by Holman and Moody, actually, and Charlie Glotzback was actually driving that car for that Alvin Perry on some tracks down there around Louisville, Kentucky. And brought that car home and rebuilt it, and we went to that Minnesota State Fair to run those two IMCA shows. One was, I think, a 300-lapper, and the one was a 500. I still have that entry blank here yet. I don't remember, but I paid $2,000 for that race car. I circled on that entry blank where I thought I could finish or run and how much money I could make, and I did much, much better than I thought I would, you know. I can't remember. I think I circled like maybe I'd run 12th or 14th in one of them, and I don't remember in the other. But anyhow, we had a great weekend up there. We're running against some pretty strong competition. You know, Ernie Durr with the 426 Hemi and Ramo Stott. It was some pretty good, strong competition.
Dave, when you started running NASCAR, it was still called the Grand National Stock Car Series, which is what I remember as a kid. How did you put the first deal together?
Well, Larry Wirsch from Wirsch Chevrolet, Bangor, Wisconsin, wanted to get involved. Larry helped me in Wisconsin when I raced on the short tracks, and I also worked for Larry at the dealership in Bangor. My wife was a school teacher in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and trying to find a job and race full-time like we did in Wisconsin in those days was hard because, you know, you had to travel. In those days, we raced sometimes seven times a week. The only day we didn't race was Monday nights. Sundays had double headers. We ran Sunday afternoons in Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and Sunday nights in Warsaw. So it was a busy schedule. So Larry, you know, let me show up for work a little bit late and sometimes leave a little bit early. So he was involved in helping me get started to try NASCAR. And Larry actually bought that first Chevelle that we ran and took to NASCAR, and we bought that car from a gentleman by the name of Don Biederman from Canada, Ontario, Canada. And we went to Daytona with that car, and we run the ARCA race with it, and someone blew up a pressure plate, a clutch, and it went through my front bumper and through the radiator, knocked us out of the ARCA race. We were actually loading the car up, getting ready to head back to Wisconsin, and someone from the NASCAR side of the garage came over and said, you know, you guys want to run that car in the Daytona 500. And I said, well, we didn't enter it. He said, you still can enter yet today. The deadline is today. They used to do that years ago. I guess if you get more cars in the NASCAR show, they would get some out of the ARCA field. And Larry and I talked about it. I said, yeah, let's try it. So there we went. We put the car over in the NASCAR garage, and we had to completely strip it down and magnaflux it and go through the NASCAR inspection, and we got qualified in the 125 milers, and that was the beginning of the career in NASCAR. We retired 35 years later.
You have some racing history with a friend of mine, Ernie Tuff from Rushford, Minnesota. How did you
Yes,
and
sir.
Ernie get teamed up, and how did that relationship work out?
Well, I always read about Ernie and kind of heard about him and knew about the modified that he took to Daytona every year that Larry Franks drove and Fireball Roberts drove it. And I think maybe Leroy might have drove it one time. But anyhow, I went over to see Ernie one time because we had a Ford to take down there and about buying an engine or borrowing an engine from him. And we got together on a deal and put Ernie's engine in the car, and he took the fuel injection off of it that he used because we couldn't use that, and we went to Daytona with that car, and Ernie actually came along with us, he and I and Dick Trickle. And we had a good time, and I don't know, we had some problems with that car. It had like a magnetic field in it, and we could never get the miss out. The car would run about 164 miles an hour, and it had a miss in it. And the people from, they were out of Chicago, Sun Electric, they worked on that car, and they said that that car had a magnetic field in it, it would have to go and get demagnetized. We never did get that miss out of the car. Everywhere I ever took the car to where the car run at those speeds, it would have that miss in up in somewhere over 160 miles an hour. So I finally just sold that car to some guys to run some short tracks with in Wisconsin. Kenny Pankratz, Bob Steffen from Bob's Auto Parts in Molson Eagle, Wisconsin, bought the car, and Kenny Pankratz drove the car for Bob, and they ran some dirt shows with it and some short tracks with it.
I remember you in the red number 71 K&K Insurance Dodge. What a beautiful-looking car. That was back during what they called the Aero Wars with the Superbirds, the Daytonas, and the Cyclones, right?
Yeah, well, I drove that car, I drove it for Harry Hyde in two races in 1974. Nord Crosscroft from K&K Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, was the owner of that team. And they had been in some disputes with NASCAR over the restrictions on the 426 Chrysler cubic inch Hemi engine, and Nord had pulled out. And then they were having to go to the small blocks, you know, the Chrysler products were. And Nord wasn't happy about that, but I guess they decided they'd come back in the series. Buddy Baker had been driving for him, and Buddy left because I guess they weren't running all the races or whatever. And they called me to drive that car at Charlotte and at Rockingham, and I did that. I think we lost the engine in both races. I don't think we finished either. It ran very well, but like I said, that was just getting started with that new engine, and we were having trouble with cylinder heads, basically, cracking cylinder heads. And it was during the holiday season. I was in Wisconsin by my dad's, and the phone rang just before Christmas. They called me up and asked me if I would drive that car for him next year in NASCAR 1975. So, you know, that was a great opportunity for me to be able to get in a competitive car that was sponsored with someone that could afford to do what needs to be done. I took that ride, and then I drove it again in 1976 for them. Then the team got sold. Nord got out of NASCAR, and that team got sold, and Neil Bonnet got that ride. Jim Stacy bought that car from Nord Crosscroft, K&K Insurance.
What do you remember about the Victory Lane photo in that car with the three blonde trophy girls? Looks like you were having a pretty good day.
Yeah. Well, anytime you win a race, that's a pretty good day, you know. But I think that was with Linda Vaughn. She was Miss Firebird and two of her friends.
Well, that's pretty good company in Victory Lane.
Yes, it is.
Starting out, you were a Firestone guy. How did you switch to Goodyear, and how did that all come about?
Well, when I first came into NASCAR, of course, both tire companies were involved. My actual first race was, I went to Atlanta, Georgia. They had a race there. It was a sportsman race, NASCAR, in the fall of 7, I believe, or 66. What was it? But anyhow, I ran that race, and then when I went back to Atlanta, I think, in the spring the next year to run in the Grand National Series with it. Both tire companies were there, and Firestone had contracts with many, many of the top drivers in those days. They were having a tire issue there at Atlanta, and a lot of the drivers were wanting to switch over to the Goodyear tire for the race, but the tires actually needed to be scuffed. The Goodyear people came to several of us smaller teams and asked us if we could stay after NASCAR closed the track. They had made provisions with NASCAR to allow them to get people to scuff tires because, like, Pearson wanted to run them. I think Kale wanted to run them, but they needed to be scuffed. So they came and talked to me, and I told them that I would do that, and I stayed there and scuffed tires so those hot dogs could have scuffed tires the next day for the race. And I don't know. I just got involved with them people and felt like they were good people. When the 1970 NASCAR season rolled around, Firestone put up some big point money to get people to stay on their tires. And Goodyear came to some of us little guys and offered to supply us our tires if we would run a Goodyear service store's name on our car for the NASCAR season. So I went with Goodyear and had the Goodyear service store's name on my race car, and I just stayed with Goodyear tires the rest of my career.
The IROC Racing Series, what a great concept, but it died out due to scheduling conflicts. You were involved with Goodyear and IROC for over 32 years.
Yes, I was. That was a great series. You know, there was a lot of effort put in to keeping those cars all equal so that everybody would have a car that was set up exactly the same. And we went through lots of time and days of testing prior to those events to have all those cars equal. That was a great series. I mean, the intentions of that series was to have the Formula One car drivers, to have the IndyCar drivers, to have the NASCAR drivers. And basically, in those days, you know, 12, I think we had 12 cars that would run in the final series, but we used to run, the NASCAR division would run a race, and then I think the top four, or the top three or top four is what went in for the final races of the season. But it's what happened basically to that series. It was getting very difficult with all the commitments that all the drivers from the different series have with sponsors nowadays. It was hard to bring everybody together for practice and get them back to their other series when they were running. Like, I know one time we had the IndyCar guys in California. We were in Michigan, and they had to go there and fly people from California to Michigan for practice and get them back to California for a late practice with the IndyCars and then get them back for the race again. I mean, it was getting very difficult, and the series started to become too many drivers from the NASCAR division. It really was taken away from the original concept of what we really wanted, was drivers from all kinds of different racing divisions.
Dave, you are number two on the all-time NASCAR start list with 883 starts behind first place Richard Petty. You collected 5 wins, 94 top 5 finishes, 222 top 10s, finished 2nd in the NASCAR championship points in 1975, 5th in 78, 6th in 74, 76, and 82. What do you remember most about those early days of your NASCAR career?
Well, you know, I just ran all the races because basically that was what I chose to do as a living. Be a race car driver. So it was my job, just like people who work at a paper mill or a garage or a lumber company or what have you, you know, racing was my deal. And so I ran just about every race. I didn't go in them early days on what they called the Northern NASCAR Tour because I couldn't really afford to always do that. But I ran, always just tried to be competitive with what I had. I probably ran my stuff sometimes too hard. Maybe wasn't as good of equipment as others, but, you know, coming off the short tracks and racing in Wisconsin, you grew up and you worked hard and you raced hard, and that's just what I always did. It was always a challenge, and we just always trying to make ends meet. I had a lot of great people, little sponsors that helped throughout my career in the early days. In those days, we done things that they wouldn't even think of doing today. We'd stay at a motel. If you put your whole team up there, they usually give the driver his room for nothing, but then, you know, you put the rest of your team up there. We had ads on the race car from restaurants. They would feed the whole crew breakfast and things like that. And, you know, we just did what we had to do to try and stay in business.
In 1982, the race you won, you became the last NASCAR driver in history to win with a motor that you built yourself. Your comment after the race was, if the Lord wanted to help an independent, this was his chance.
Yep, that's right. I mean, we built that motor. Ben Barnes from Barnes & Reese in Asheville, North Carolina, done the machine work, and a gentleman that worked for me by the name of Frank Graham, he and I, we assembled that engine and stuff in our shop and went up there to Richmond and ended up winning that race. And we were very, very thankful for that. And you know, the Lord was looking after us that day, I'm sure. It's quite a blessing as a little guy like that to be able to win a race. I mean, that was like almost impossible for a little bitty team to win a race against all them big factory teams. You know, Ford and Chrysler and all the stuff that you ran against, it was difficult for an independent.
You competed in every Daytona 500 from 1968 to 1999, and the 2002 Daytona 500 was your last race. What has happened to the sport since you left? I remember watching as a kid, and you'd see all these pit strategies and crews trying to get another second or two lead so they could come in a splash and dash of gas to try to go for the win or stop in the pits for two tires with seven laps to go, hoping that they would be faster than the rest of the field. And now it's all completely changed.
You know, I don't like the deal that they're doing now, 60 lap segments or 70, well, whatever it is, but the two segments and then the final, I don't think that's racing. It's taken a lot of the strategy out that we had to do years ago, and what you had to do during the race to be able to run a car hard for 500 miles. I mean, and it's just, I don't know. And I think in the era of the sport that I raced was probably one of the better eras in racing. I mean, I think we built a great sport, and now it looks like they're destroying it because, I mean, the grandstands are continuously getting empty and empty, and I think big money is taking the sport over, and it's hurting it. It's just absolutely hurting it. I mean, they can't even fill the field anymore with race cars, and that's hard for me to believe. I mean, I used to go to Daytona. There'd be 54, 56, 52 cars trying to qualify to fill a 40-car field. I mean, and now, I think the other day, they only had like 38 or 39 cars. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't really know the real problem, but I guess the people that are running the sport or governing the sport should look back at what built the sport, what Mr. Bill Francine Sr. Done to build the sport, and it should be not too hard to figure out, but they don't seem to be able to figure it out.
Dave, you were the last of the non-factory-supported, independent owner-drivers. Your slogan was, "We've done so much with so little for so long, we can now do anything with nothing." You were an inspiration to many drivers that said, "I've got a shot. I just need to work hard and try."
I believe in working hard. I still work hard. I was raised that way. I look at the country today and the era when I grew up, and parents didn't have a lot of money in those days. They worked hard, too, just to make ends meet, to put food on the table and raise their kids. And if you wanted something, you had to work hard, too, because you had to buy it yourself. I mean, my first bicycle, my parents didn't have the money to buy for me. I bought. And other things, my first car, I bought. That's how it was in those days. And I'm not just me, everybody. That's pretty much what kids had to do when they were growing up. So if you wanted something or wanted to get someplace, you better be willing to work. That's just how it was. And I think that built a great country. And it's not that way today.
Dave, you were such an inspiration to watch race every single weekend. I couldn't wait to get home on Sunday and turn on the Wide World of Sports to see the Grand National Stock Cars and Dave Marcus on the television. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you very much for thinking about me and giving me a call, and just like to say hello to all the race fans. You know, I had a lot of fans over in the Minnesota area. I raced up at Elko, and I raced over at Shakopee early in the year when we weren't racing in Wisconsin, and they would always start earlier than us. And then, of course, at the Minnesota State Fair when the IMCA shows were there. But I appreciate you thinking about me and getting me on the show.
And did you ever think we would live to see the day where there's no track at the Minnesota State Fair, no track at the Iowa State Fair?
That's a shame. That's a shame. And that was a really nice racetrack at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds also. Yeah, it's very hard to believe that that's gone by the wayside. Big money is taking over the sport, like I said, and it's ruining it also.
Dave, thank you so much for your time. Good luck fishing, and have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
KEFCO Racing specializes in oil pans for Chevrolet, Ford, Mopar, Circle Track, Road Race, and Street and Strip. Made in the USA by Racers for Racers. KEFCO Racing, valve covers, EVAC canister kits, excess panels for race cars, along with a full line of trailer and garage accessories. See KEFCO Racing's full line of products at their brand new website, KEFCORacing.com. And if you don't see it, it doesn't mean KEFCO Racing can't build it. Make American manufacturing grow to KEFCO
Kevco Racing, you should go. Built by racers you all know. See KevcoRacing.com or call them toll-free 1-800-770-3557. That's 1-800-770-3557.
Are you sick of trying to sell your car? Hi, this is Ken Snow from Snow's Classic. Avoid all those hassles involved with selling your own car and let Snow's Classic sell it for you. Located right across from Cabela's on I-35, your vehicle gets over 300,000 views monthly, and our highly rated website is visited worldwide. Cars are selling fast, and our inventory is running low. Whether you're selling a vintage car or a late model car, contact us at Snow's Classics today at 214-3554 and sell your vehicle the hassle-free way.
Ever wondered what a rhino would cost? Go to rhinoag.com and click the Build Your Rhino tab under the Born to Lead text. Select the product and spec it out with any option we offer. And as always, contact your local dealer for any finance specials or seasonal offers at rhinoag.com.
If you're like me, you hate when your outdoor gas-powered equipment won't start. What I've learned is that most of these breakdowns are caused by ethanol and street gas, which eats up the fuel system, and warranties don't cover fuel-related repairs. Well, the experts at VP Racing Fuels developed a solution called VP Small Engine Fuel. It's an unleaded fuel blend with no ethanol, so it prevents those problems. The unleaded fuel is perfect for four-cycle engines, like lawnmowers or generators, and for two-cycle equipment like chainsaws and trimmers. VP's fuel is pre-mixed with oil. That means no measuring or mixing. Just pour it in and start it up. You'll find VP Small Engine Fuel, or SEF, in quart size and 1 gallon containers for smaller tools, and 5 gallon pails for larger equipment. Try VP Small Engine Fuel, available at the Home Depot, or visit vpsef.com. That's vp-sef.com for more information. VPSEF is for use in small engines only and may not be used in motor vehicles.
Duradoc strength and durability withstand the water and elements 24 hours a day. Duradoc's all-aluminum welded construction, stainless steel fasteners, and non-slip surface that stays cool even in the hottest weather. It might just outlast your water skiing days. Whatever you need, roll-ins, floaters, or sectionals, Duradoc has got you covered. And best of all, no tools are needed for installation, which leaves you more time to enjoy the lake. Contact Tony today at 641-529-0698 for standard or custom sizes. The last dock you will ever need to purchase. Duradoc.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by Bob Allen, race promoter at Arlington Raceway in Arlington, Minnesota. And Bob, there is so much great history on the IMCA Racing Series. I know over the winter, I had a chance to look over some yearbooks from 1959 to 1964, and just the names that were racing stock cars and sprint cars with that series, and all the names over the years that have been involved with IMCA. What a cool organization.
Well, that's true. I mean, IMCA actually goes back, I believe, to 1915. So there's a lot of history involved in IMCA, the oldest sanctioning body throughout the country. It has been revitalized probably back in the 80s, bringing in the IMCA modifieds as well as all the other divisions. Kind of a short delay in between the old IMCA and the new IMCA, but just so much history going back over the years and the development of racing in the Midwest. Anytime you see something that has developed into some huge events or huge facilities, you'll see the IMCA name along the ladder to build those to the success.
Bob, the Allen family has done a great job at Arlington Raceway with the entry-level classes, getting people involved in racing without a lot of cash. The go-kart series, the autocross, the truck cross, and what that does is groom new drivers for the future.
That's true. When we look at our go-kart division, I can't even tell you the number of years back. We're actually starting our 37th season this year at the Arlington Raceway. And go-karts have been a part of the program for a pretty large majority of those years now. And when we look at the list of the drivers that race in all of our classes of cars, it's probably in the neighborhood of 60% of the racers have started out in the go-kart division. But I believe we look back to 1994 when we seen our first go-kart champions. I believe it was Chad Volk, Dan Torgerson, and Luke Lowe. We look at those racers in all of our classes today. We just see so many of those racers that started out throughout the years in the go-kart classes and moved on.
At a regular Saturday night of racing at Arlington Raceway, what classes will the fans see?
Well, you'll be seeing, of course, the go-karts. We get started with those earlier in the afternoon every other week on the schedule. And then we alternate the alternating week with either an autocross or a truck cross class. So those classes of cars are in action on a more limited schedule. And then each and every week, we have all of the IMCA sanctioned classes, including the stock cars modifieds, both the sport mods and the IMCA modifieds, as well as our hobby stocks, sprint cars, and then also the outlaw hobby stock cars in action, plus the sport compacts. So the sanctioned divisions, we've got just about, well, everything that IMCA sanctions is racing at Arlington with the exception of the late models.
Over the winter, I've had the opportunity to watch Keith Weber out of Austin build his sprint car on Facebook, and he is so excited to get it out to Arlington Raceway and race it. And what's really nice about your sprint car series, it's an affordable way to get out on the track and have a great time.
Well, we've teamed up a few years ago now with French Grinds out of Virginia, and French has had a set of rules out there for about 18 years that he felt was extremely affordable on the engine package. And we just never quite looked at it that way until a few years ago we teamed up. And from that point, this division of cars has actually grown to be the largest sprint car class in the country. And it's the fastest growing class, of course, of sprint cars, because drivers can put together an engine on their own. We've had drivers at Arlington put together engines for the sprint car class under the $5,000 range. We've heard numbers from $3,900 up to $4,000, $4,800, depending on how many of the components they have at home that they throw into the engine. But it's an extremely affordable class of car to put together to go racing. And the rules are set up so the engines, there's a lot of longevity. We've had drivers that have run the same engine for up to 3 years, sometimes even more, before they even do a freshen job on the engine. And a lot of people that have been in sprint car racing for a long time just have that habit that every year, or in some cases every six races, they have to refreshen the engine, tear it down and fix it up to go racing again. And in some cases, that freshen job costs more money than completing the Race Saver engine. So it's been a fast-growing and easy-to-understand class of cars for people to get involved with, and the growth across the country has just been tremendous. We're picking up tracks and series on a pretty regular basis this year. Just this last month now, we've announced going back into Ohio with some weekly sanctioned shows and all the way out to California. The Western Race Saver Series has been doing real well. But on the local level, it's just a place that whether you've got a lot of experience in a race car or just want to get started in a sprint car, it's a class to go to and get a lot of lap time for a limited amount of money as far as the investment on the engine.
And Bob, we always have a great time when we come out to Arlington Raceway. Last year, Brett Gellner parked his sprint car in Victory Lane, and he said, I think it was 6 or 7 years since he had been in a car the last time. And you've got guys like Dwayne Wilmus racing there. So whether you're watching the young guns just getting their start, or if they're trying to get some senior experience down in the pit areas, they've got some great guys to talk to.
That's true. I'm not totally sure on the number of years that Brett had been out of the car, but he does have probably 20, maybe even more years experience as a sprint car racer, racing in all different divisions of the sprint car. And he mentioned that it was one of the most fun opportunity for him to get into this car because it's more of a driver class. Everybody's got about the same number of horsepower. The engines are tuned about the same, so you've got to work pretty hard to make things work. And it's always fun to see Dwayne Wilmus jump in a race car. Not sure what his plans are for this year, but Dwayne's got about, I'm going to guess, close to 50 years experience running race cars. And at his age, it's fun to see him jump into a sprint car, but it's also just a little bit concerning because of his age. But as long as he's having fun doing it, and I believe last year he was able to come out and win a feature.
Arlington Raceway is all about family and families having fun. And what better way to have fun at the races than also come out to the Sibley County Fair? And I know you have two nights of racing that week. Wednesday, you have a stock car shootout, and then come back Saturday night with the full array of classes.
Hey, the Wednesday night show last year brought the national champion up to Arlington. He was able to pull off a win there in the IMCA stock car division. And we look forward to that show once again this year because we had drivers from all over the country coming in and racing with the local talent. And it shows the fans just how talented the local drivers are because it's tough for a national champion to be able to come in and pick up a win against the talented drivers we have at Arlington. Coming up on Saturday night, of course, we'll have our full program of regular racing during the Sibley County Fair, and it gives everybody the opportunity to come in and see a racing program and have the county fair atmosphere, which is something that really brought racing to the Midwest.
If fans would like to find out more about Arlington Raceway, I know you have a website chock full of information at arlingtonraceway.com, and you also have a Facebook page that you do a great job of keeping updated.
That's true. Check us out at thearlingtonraceway.com, and we'll have updates about the racing program and information concerning the racing program on that website, as well as our official Facebook page, the Arlington Raceway official page.
Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you, Clayton. We appreciate everything you do, keeping fans informed on racing throughout the Midwest here.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf & Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
Dale Enterprises are your tile main specialist. Your tiling system is only as good as your tile mains. Design, placement, and proper installation of your mains are key. Don't waste your time, money, and future yield potential on a poorly installed plan. Call Dale Enterprises in Morristown for all your field drainage and excavating needs. 507-685-2148. Dale Enterprises is your tile main specialist.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on the dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy, NASCAR, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Why does World of Outlaw sprint car driver David Gravel use Walker Performance Filtration Systems?
We use Walker Performance Filtration Systems because it keeps the dirt out of our engines, making our engine builders happy, and we did not have one engine failure last year throughout the whole World of Outlaw season, and they perform great on the dyno, and they translate that to the racetrack.
See WalkerPerformanceFiltration.com or call them at 818-252-7788. Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Pat Fagan from Bass Shafts. And Pat, you're a former racer, and when you're racing and things break or they don't work correctly, racers are very innovative and they find a way to make things better. And that's really how you got started, is finding a need, just like Dave Marcus, who is on the show today, making things work and making products that are more reliable and hold up to the strain.
Yeah, back in the early 90s, when we first started dabbling with drive shafts, I was heavily involved with a lot of racers here in central Iowa, and one of the things that kept popping up was we had drive shaft failures because, you know, A, the suspensions were changing on the modifieds back then. We were going from a two-link car to a three-link car, and then all of a sudden we morphed into a four-bar car, and the suspensions started moving a lot more, and things were just changing. You know, there was a lot of people that would go to a salvage yard. A couple of them would be Danny Wallace and Dave Farron. There's a couple of old racers that they'd go to a salvage yard and find a dry shaft out of a salvage yard and take it home and cut the end of it off and make it an inch or two shorter and weld it and put it back in the car and go race. And we started having failures because these guys were welding together dry shafts on their garage floors and they weren't getting them perfectly straight, weren't balancing them, and they were using old U-joints out of the existing dry shaft from a salvage yard. So we just kind of started trying to build a niche market that we could offer a new dry shaft that would, A, be safe, and B, be affordable. And that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
Pat, every time I stop into your facility, You have a very dedicated staff, and these guys have been with you for a long time, and they understand how these products are going to be used when they're building them.
Right now, we've got four builders in our building that can build drive shafts, and realistically, we've got three drive shaft machines that I can have three guys build drive shafts all day long. So I'm probably better staffed today than I ever have been. And everybody understands that, you know, I do a lot of traveling and I go to a lot of racers and spend a lot of time in the pits and all over the United States. And they know that I don't want someone chasing me down through the pits with a bad drive shaft. So we got to build a good product because I'm out there representing our product. So I do a lot of traveling, try to give technical support everywhere we go, and it seems to be working.
Speaking of supporting racers out there, early this season, many of the top drivers parked their cars in Victory Lane running your products, and it was great to see all the pictures on Facebook and all over the internet with the Fast Shafts banner in the background.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that won't agree with what I'm about to say, but Eddie Bertram from Wisconsin, he told me about 5 years ago, he said, Pat, you've bored yourself into this industry with the right people at the right time, and you've made a mark. And I'm very, very, very fortunate to have the loyalty and the following and the trust of a lot of racers all over the United States, all the way from rookie racers to veteran racers that are winning races. I mean, in the USMTS series, I would say if you take the top 15 racers in the USMTS world, 13 of them are probably going to be running my product. So the majority of those guys are winning, and we're able to hang our hat on a lot of feature wins in the USMTS world. We're able to do the same in the IMCA world because we're pretty deep with IMCA, and we're pretty strong in the UMP world. We're strong in the Lucas Oil late model world. I mean, it's just, again, we're very, very fortunate to have the loyalty of the racing industry that we have.
Pat, we're going to have you on throughout the racing season. How can they find out more about all the great products you offer?
I'm here at the office answering the phone 85% of the time. So, you know, you can just dial us up at 800-622-6617. That'll be a toll-free call from anywhere here in the United States. The other way is we're pretty visible on Facebook. I try to spend as much time as I can on there congratulating all of the drivers that trust our product and get them to Victory Lane.
Pat, thank you so much for your time and being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate you getting me involved in this, and hopefully we can move on down the road and we can do each other good and I can help a racer out from time to time.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
After many years working on and repairing large commercial vehicles, Rod French opened his own welding, repair, and fabrication shop. For the past 15 years, Rod has run his fabricating business at his country home, offering welding and fabrication, as well as truck frame extensions. In 2012, the business expanded to include designing, building, and installing Powerlift hydraulic doors. And in 2015, Powerlift Hydraulic Doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated was established at the Dodge Center Industrial Park location. Powerlift Hydraulic Doors by FMI Inc. currently is serving Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Northern Iowa. No door is too big or too small. We've got you covered with all your Powerlift hydraulic door needs. Customer loyalty and quality work is what you can expect from French's Repair and Fabrication Incorporated and Powerlift Doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated. Give us a call at 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie is the place to go for your next golf cart. And now with two locations, Miners Outdoor can serve you even better. Be sure to check out More Golf and Utility, located just 3 miles east of I-35 in Lakeville. Remember to ask about Club Car's new consumer golf cart, Onward. That's Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie and More Golf and Utility in Lakeville.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Midwest Collision has earned a reputation as the area's collision repair professionals, locally owned with over 40 years of combined experience. If you're involved in an accident, Midwest Collision Center in Faribault can handle all your repairs, all on site. All insurance claims welcome, providing you with a free loaner vehicle while yours is fixed. Call Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., 332-2434.
Napa Know How!
The Napa Bucket is on sale for $2.99. It's engineered from high-quality plastic, and it comes with a metal handle to make it portable. You're probably thinking, that sounds like any old bucket, but it's not, because regular buckets don't get you 20% off almost anything you put in it. So pick up a Napa Bucket today and get 20% off the parts you need. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, minimum three items. Some exclusions apply. Offer good while supplies last.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a great day when I'm joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And Speed, you've got another very interesting recipe to take out to the campgrounds or racetracks to impress all your friends.
You betcha. It's a grilled meatloaf that we make with our Cookies Premium Salsa, and you can use either the mild or medium salsa, either one. I like the medium. It's got a little more kick to it, but it's a real simple recipe. What we got for ingredients, we've got 1 cup of the Cookies Premium Salsa. Again, you can use either the mild or the medium. 1/2 cup of quick cooking oatmeal, 1 egg, and a teaspoon of either parsley flakes or chives. I prefer throwing the chives in there because I like that kind of onion flavor that you get out of there, but you can use either parsley flakes or chives. 1 teaspoon of Cookies Flavor Enhancer and all-purpose seasoning. 2 pounds of ground beef. If you want to use a little shredded cheese, that's kind of an option. What I do is I like to slice it when it's hot and then just sprinkle a little cheddar cheese on that, particularly if I'm going to eat it in a sandwich. But what you do is you mix the first 5 ingredients together in a large bowl and then combine the ground beef and crumble it over the top of it and get that all mixed in and then shape it into 2 loaves and then put a sheet of heavy-duty foil on your grill or smoker. And if you're using a grill, make sure you do it on indirect heat. But get your smoker or your grill where you run around 300 to 3 1/4 temperature-wise. You cook it for about an hour. You just want the thermometer to get up to like 160 on it. Pull it off there and let it stand about 10 minutes before you slice it. Well, I tell you, what I like to do is just slice that off of there and put it on a nice fresh hamburger bun and sprinkle a little bit of cheese on top. And then I'll put either a little more salsa, or even though it's made with the salsa, I'll put a little bit of our sweet and spicy barbecue sauce on that thing. But it's mighty tasty. Go to the Dirt Show site there and get this recipe.
Speed, that would be an awful long hour waiting for that to come off the grill. I know I'd be turning those dials up, getting a little more heat in it. Because
wanting to get it done a little quicker, but I'll tell you what, either watch the hot laps or something and kind of just get yourself distracted for a little bit, and then you'll be okay.
Speed, I know they can also go to cookiesbbq.com for more information and all of these great recipes.
You betcha. And thanks a lot, Clayne, and have yourself a good one, buddy.
When it comes to finding new, innovative ways to solve problems, Honda has always risen to the challenge. Take our family of Pioneer 1000 side-by-sides. The biggest news this year is the Pioneer 1000 Limited Edition. What makes it so special? First, the combination of Honda's exclusive automatic dual-clutch transmission combined with our revolutionary i4-wheel drive technology. Like every Pioneer 1000, it sports a best-in-class 999cc engine. Plus, with the Pioneer 1005, Honda's exclusive quick flip seats can go from a 3-seater to a 5-seater in seconds. So head to Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin and check out a new Honda Pioneer 1000. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet and eye protection, always wear your seatbelt, and keep the side nets and doors closed. Pioneers are for drivers 16 years and older. Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
Let's talk about a deal. At Casey's General Stores, when you order online during April, get a large made-from-scratch single-topping pizza for the price of a small at just $8.99. You heard right. Any size single-topping pizza for just $8.99. Order online at caseystogo.com or download our mobile app. Casey's, famous for pizza. Offer only available online and valid through April 30th.
This your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Friday night, April 21st, the Dirt Show gang was on hand at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa for a great night of racing. in the IMCA Modifieds. Josh Ruby, number 30, showing him the fast way around the track. Jared Baumeister winning the Sport Mod feature. In the stock cars, it was a 32 of Derek Green. In your IMCA Hobby Stock feature, the number 8 of Brandon Nielsen. And in the IMCA Sport Compact feature, upside down Bubba Brown with his first win. Last Saturday night, Rice Lake Speedway in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, kicked off their 66th season in the Wissota Modified 20-lap A-Main, Kevin Adams over Mike Anderson and Steve Hullquist. In the Wissota Superstock A-Main, it was Kurt Meyer over Nick Orskovic and Randy Spacek. In the Wissota Midwest Modifieds, Grant Southworth over Joe Chaplin and Michael Truscott. In the Wissota Street Stock 15-lap A-Main, Jay Kessen over Sam Fankhauser and Cody Coomer. And in your 12-lap Pier Stock A-Main feature, Mike Belvins over Dustin Doty and Ryan Savoy. Knoxville Raceway in Knoxville, Iowa was also racing last Saturday night, April 22nd. In your 410 Sprint Cars, your fast qualifier, Kerry Madsen. And in the 20-lap 410 A-Main, Brian Brown over Kerry Madsen and Aaron Reitzel. In the 360 Sprint Cars, your fast qualifier was Seth Bergman. And in the 18-lap A-Main, Ian Madsen over Clint Garner and Seth Bergman. And in the 305 time trials, it was Chris Wolverand. And in your 15-lap A-Main, it was Kevin Hetrick over Cade Higday and Joe Simbrough. Cedar Lake Speedway in New Richmond, Wisconsin, also hosted their Spring Sprint Car Special last Saturday night, April 22nd. In the Modifieds, it was Jake Hartung over Joey Jensen and Corey Bergerman. In the Pro Stocks, it was Ryan Wyome over Mike Lomas and Corey Davis. In the traditional UMSS non-wing sprint cars, it was Jeremy Kurzman over Mike Mueller and Brad Peterson. In the USRA late models, Lance Hofer over Lance Matthews and Justin Sass. And in the 360 UMSS wing sprint cars, Wayne Nygaard over Chris Graft and Chase Vibrock. Deer Creek Speedway was also racing last Saturday night with a jam-packed crowd. In the 25-lap USRA feature, it was Jason Cummins over Lucas Schott and Jake Tim. In the Wissota Superstock A-Main, Dan Nasulke over Jeff Brower and Neil Eckhart. In the USRA B-Mods, it was the 85 of Ben Mowdry over Dustin Krause and Parker Hale. In the Wissota Street Stocks, it was Mike Blowers over Kyle King and Travis Krause. And in the Midwest Modifieds, it was Jason Vandekamp over Robbie Franklin and Ryan Wettstein. The Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mod Series didn't have to worry about Mother Nature. They kicked off their 2017 season indoors April 15th at the Cedar Lake Arena with Bobby Gullickson taking the victory over Kelly Steele and Jerry Larson.
Record-breaking yields and low harvest prices. The value of on-farm storage is higher than ever. Start planning for next year now. An on-farm storage system from NASCO Equipment gives you the marketing flexibility to capture the best prices when the timing is right. And that can make a huge difference to your bottom line. Call us, NASCO Equipment, your local Bayland, GSI, and Farm Fans dealer. And make an investment now that will maximize your farm's profitability year after year. Call NASCO Equipment of Fairmont or International Steel Erectors today at 507-235. 9506.
Speed the Sauce Man here. Will you lend me an ear?
Our newest sauce is finally ready to eat. It packs a punch of heat with just the right amount of sweet. Get ready to greet another tasty cookie treat. Try it out on meat. Another food you'd love to eat.
Hey, barbecue lovers. You can now find our newest sauce, Cookie Sweet and Spicy, on the shelves of your local grocer. Learn more at cookiesbbq.com and on Facebook. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.